Hi, you're with Truth News Australia. It's the 19th of July. Welcome to another show. We've got some very, very heavy stuff to wade through tonight. The Murdoch phone hacking scandal is going ballistic. People are dying. The entire media is now caught up in this story. And of course, this is a story about the media. And it's very interesting watching it unfold. And if you keep your eye on websites like news.com.au, it's kind of ironic because they've been trying not to cover it, but increasingly they have to. But for a long time, they weren't even mentioning this story about the boss, Rupert Murdoch, who's currently, as we speak, going before Parliament in the UK with James Murdoch and Rebecca Brooks, former CEO of News International, and they're all going before Parliament. Very unusual, almost unprecedented kind of development. So we'll be going through all of that, and I have on the line with me to discuss these issues in depth, Mr. Joshua Jackson. Welcome to the show, Josh.
G'day, Harold. G'day, folks out in Cyberland and beyond.
Cyberland and beyond, yeah. I mean, the media is going through some kind of catharsis at the moment with these revelations, these startling revelations, as they like to say, about all this naughtiness. I find it interesting, I mean, that we actually know, all of us who've done the minimal amount of research, know that far worse things than anything that's actually been revealed in this scandal have been done year in, year out, going back decades, going back to Operation Mockingbird, where the actual, you know, CIA were infiltrating all of the major media. You know, the media has been what they call the third estate, working hand in hand in government, going back to Edward Bernays, who actually said that the media actually is an invisible government. I mean, he said that in his book Propaganda in 1925. Continue.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it really is amazing. Here we have people, you know, some fellow who basically whistle-blew the whole thing open is found dead. We have media all over the world attacking, and we've got people on the streets getting so angry, you know, throwing righteous condemnation and vitriol at these networks. And really, I mean, folks, a lot worse has happened. We've had weapons of mass destruction being lied to about these weapons of mass destruction. We've been gone to two wars. We've had war drums of war being pounded for the last 5 years, and no one gets arrested. No one even talks about the lies of the Murdoch empire. And now we have some people hacking into some you know, celebrities' freaking phones, and everyone's up in arms about it. I mean, we need to get some sort of perspective going.
Although, to be fair, I mean, one of the big foci of this is that story about Millie Dowler, the 13-year-old girl who was murdered. And, you know, that is pretty disturbing that these hounds of the press were actually sniffing into her phone messages and deleting her phone messages. But, yeah,
it's a good thing. All I'm saying is I find it comical, if not, and then which creates a feeling of anger eventually, that the fact that people just don't care about millions of people dying in huge wars of aggression for resources and whatever other political end game they've got, yet some people's phones get hacked into, and it's just game on for everyone.
What I think this actually once again illustrates is the WikiLeaks phenomenon, and by that I mean, you know, we've been trying to alert the world to these massive crimes of state, you know, state-sponsored terrorism, the glaring anomalies in the official accounts of the 7/7 bombings and 9/11 and a variety of other acts of international terrorism. And these are absolutely, you know, incontrovertible, clear evidence of inside job involvement in massive crimes against humanity. Now,
yeah, well, I mean, how far it goes is up to the, you know, is really no one knows. But it's the media's job,
yeah,
to look down every avenue without being embarrassed.
But the WikiLeaks phenomenon, what I mean is, What the media became obsessed with was all the little nuances of gossip from the diplomatic cables, where one politician was saying bad things about another politician,
yeah,
and that became world news, and it went on for months. Mm. That you know, Hillary Clinton was sniping at you know, the Premier of China or something like,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
And this is a bizarre phenomenon, isn't it?
Well, it's absolutely like, embarrassing. I mean, it's highly embarrassing for the human race.
Yeah, and it's far more important, Josh, than NATO bombardment and mass killings of innocent civilians, which actually goes under the name of, you know, humanitarian intervention. I mean, I've got a story here, and I just want to quickly jump into this story that was sent to me, direct report from Tripoli. This is what is going on in Libya right now. Mm. As Tripoli's Palestinian refugees awakened the morning of that's a wrong date, 11/17/11. I think it's meant to be the 11th of July, 2011. Like the rest of us here, they saw in the western sky over the Mediterranean a vast swatch of black stratocumulus clouds of acrid smoke from last night's NATO bombing. This latest attack in the Tajura districts in the eastern suburbs of Tripoli killed 3 more civilians, and increasing the more than 1,100 total civilian deaths by NATO, according to the Libyan Ministry of Health Statistics. The latest attack is believed to have employed 4 US MK-83,000 pound guided bombs and 4 US Hellfire missiles. And there is some photographs here, and this is all going to go up on Truth News. These are just really, really massive explosions. I mean, giant plumes of black acrid smoke coming up. 2 weeks ago, on the 23rd of June, the Palestinian refugee family of 4, which included Abdullah, his wife Karim, and 6-month-old twins, were among the civilians killed in a NATO bombing attack. The family had lived in this refugee camp, and they'd come from Damascus, but had come there seeking its well-known security and safety of Libya. Tripoli's humid air is still pungent with the smell of cordite. Many Palestinians, like the increasingly defiant population of Western Libya, view the bombing and killing of yet more civilians as NATO's answer to Gaddafi's resistance broadcast on Friday night on state-run Libyan TV, just 3 hours after the decision made by the 30-member contact group at Istanbul were announced. Now, I mean, this article just goes on to actually detail the degree of destruction, the degree of just wanton cruelty that is being enacted on people who are like living in refugee camps, people who are just civilians.
No. But we've got to talk about a phone. David Beckham's phone being hacked into.
Exactly, El McPherson.
McPherson.
Come on,
it's just his voicemail.
You know, we've got to be concerned about El McPherson. And you know, I tell you what. Apparently, they paid El McPherson $100,000 to keep her quiet. But you know, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? Look, okay. Here's a theory about this, Josh. I think that you know, part of the cognitive dissonance, part of the inability that people have to engage with the fact that they are being abused on a massive scale is that they will like to focus on smaller scale things that they can easily grasp that actually siphon off some of their fear and anger onto something petty, though. Yeah. There's actually a psychological mechanism here being exploited.
Hmm. Well, sport does the same thing.
Sport indeed does a very similar thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can get all riled up about the blue versus the red. You get really, really happy or really, really angry, depending if some, you know, piece of leather goes through a net or not.
Yeah, and actually, it just reminds me of something, a point I wanted to make about this whole concept of cognitive dissonance, which people talk about a lot. And of course, the term means that people actually don't like information which conflicts with other information that they already have in their head. And that's what we call dissonance. It's like, you know, you like pleasing information, just like you like pleasing sounds that actually vibrate to the same frequency of sounds that you're already hearing. But if you play a note in between the notes of the scale, it is considered to be dissonant because it is not within the harmonies of that musical instrument. So cognitive dissonance is the same thing. It's information which does not harmonize with the background kind of pattern that you're actually, you know, accepting.
And this gets multiplied and amplified if the person or a group of people have invested a lot of time into a concept, and then when you hear something that refutes that concept, you either won't look at it or you'll get mad because you've spent a lot of time already looking at one side of the story, and that's the problem as well. Once you have this base of cognitive dissonance, if you've put a lot of time and effort into looking at something, and a lot of greenhouse gas, global warming advocates, anthropogenic global warming advocates are falling into this trap where they put so much effort. I mean, honestly, since primary school, people have been pushed into these concepts, and then when something different comes along, it's really hard for them to then even look at the information, let alone try to take it seriously.
Good point. And also, I find that with a lot of people, it's not so much that they have this very strong opinion that you have to argue against, although those people do exist. But what I find with a lot of people, it's that they give you an attitude that they're just not interested. And I believe that's far more common. I believe that's actually the vast majority. And those are the ones that are subjected to this cognitive dissonance to the maximum degree. See, the ones that are environmental activists are actually living within a belief system where they constantly reinforce their beliefs with each other. And you could say that of truthers too. You could say we truthers do the same thing, and I would accept that. But I also believe that I myself have put everything I say to the test, and I'm willing to be questioned, and I'm willing to have my views changed if contradictory information comes in. But
that's the nature of science, you know.
Yeah,
you really we've said this before on the show. If the true nature of science is you can spend your whole life's work on a theory, and on your deathbed, some other scientist wanders in and goes, "Hey, guess what? I've proven you wrong. Your whole life's work is down the drain." And you have to humbly be happy with that because that is the pursuit of truth. And, you know, you can say, well, your studies led to that truth, although your studies were wrong.
Yeah, but just getting back to this issue of the what I call the disinterested factor, because many, many people are simply not engaging with the information at all. They hear a certain amount of it on the news, but they don't actually follow it through to any extent, even to the extent of, say, putting a search term into Google And I mean, I suggest to anyone that you challenge the next person you're having a fruitless argument with to say, let's say it's about 9/11. And let's say they say, I mean, this is a common thing that someone will say. They'll say, oh, you get all that silly stuff from the internet, right? And I would say if someone says, you know, oh, you're getting all these crazy ideas from the internet, I would say, how about you just take the search term 9/11 and just put it into Google? Now, why do I say that? Well, you use Google already, don't you? Use it for information. If you're going to go shopping, if you're looking for where you are in maps, if you're actually looking for the latest information about many topics, you will put it into Google. And everyone will agree with that. Everyone puts information into Google. And this is what I find really intriguing, is that most of these people who have a sweeping view about something like 9/11 or even climate change, many of these other subjects, they will never have put that into Google. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Because...
Yeah, because all of a sudden it's then crazy.
They know when they do that, that they're going to find information which is cognitively dissonant with what they already know. They know in advance, subconsciously, that that information is out there and they don't want to see it. You see, they don't want to even see the information, so they don't even try to look for it. Just going to take a quick break. Just going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Okay, on with the show. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and I'm talking to Josh Jackson tonight, and we're kind of wandering all over the shop. Just to finalise my point there, is that there is this level at which people's consciousness is subdued and they don't even try to find the information. But at the same time as that, they're being constantly swamped with all this trivia. And that does actually fill up their brains. So they actually have a sense that their head is actually full of facts. They're just facts that are of no real value, that they don't lead in any clear direction. And that, of course, has been the and just finally bringing it back again to the Murdoch scenario and the Murdoch scandal, that has been the lifeblood of News Corporation around the world. That is what they do and what they do best. But of course, they do throw in a little propaganda. They do influence people to a certain extent. But a large part of what they do is filling people's minds with crap.
Here. Now, just moving on back to the truth behind, well, not the truth, but back to the story of this whole News of the World thing. So the old Lolsec, how do you even say that?
I have no idea how to pronounce that.
Yeah, this Lolsec hacking group basically hacked into News of the World. Today, was it News of the World?
They hacked into the Sun. News of the World is actually closed. And out of business, shut down.
Right, they hacked into the Sun.
Yeah.
And basically put a fake story about Rupert Murdoch dying.
Very interesting, isn't it? Very, very interesting.
That was funny.
Hackers post a bogus story claiming Rupert Murdoch was found dead after an overdose. The fake story read, officers on the scene report a broken glass, a box of vintage wine, and what seems to be a family album strewn across the floor containing images from days gone by. So, yeah, it's just a satirical jab. I don't know how they could hack into the Sun, though. I mean, that's pretty bold.
Yeah,
that they were able to do that.
They went further. A few hours later, the sun came back up, and then they did it again, but redirected all the traffic going to Sun to the LulzSec Twitter account.
Do you think we're actually seeing the death throes of mainstream media here? I mean, are we actually seeing something actually important rather than just the trivial gossip aspect of this? Maybe this really is a transitional moment. Maybe this is the revolution is actually happening now.
I would agree with that 100%. I mean, it really is. It really is. And, you know, all the way from this sort of news media to entertainment media, you know, we're getting companies like Netflix and the one here in Australia, QuickFlix, you know, taking over, delivering movies and stuff. You know, it's all going online, and it's the end of the era for massive mainstream media. The segregation of content, especially entertainment, is going towards gaming, just information, blogs, people's opinion. Facebook and social networking is a massive source of news, and Twitter for people. So, you know, you don't just... Back in the day, you went to Channel 9, and that's where you got your news from, or Channel 7, or Channel 10, you know, whichever one you were is your favorite or your parents' favorite, and they sat there, and they never turned it over. No, I trust the news of Channel 10, and that's where they went. Nowadays, you don't go to one news source, you go to Twitter, and you get hundreds of different news sources giving you lots of different things from people that are aggregating this information and finding the best stuff for you, depending on your interest. And it's really changing the landscape. And mainstream media is in the death throes.
And, of course, social media is really taking over, because a lot of people are getting their news through their social media threads, you know, through their Facebook friends group. I mean, those of us who use Facebook in a more kind of, you know, political way than people who just use it for social reasons, we get a fantastic amount of information through Facebook. Now, I don't know if that's the way the Facebook people intended us to use it. But who cares? That's the way we're using it, and it's actually serving us pretty well.
Well, yeah, and Google Plus takes it to a whole new level. I don't know if you've played much with it, but...
No, can you tell us a little bit about Google Plus?
Well, Google Plus is basically, you know, Google's tried a million different ways of using social media, or I should say of trying to capture some of the social media market. But basically what we're seeing here is Google sat back, found Twitter, looked at Twitter, analyzed it, looked at Facebook, analyzed it, and incorporated both of them in a more modern way, because now everyone's figured out how to use social media. Because when Facebook came along, there'd just been MySpace, so no one really knew. It was all a new ground, and it was being invented by the people using it, really. They were the people really inventing this stuff. You know, Facebook was just answering a need in the market. And so now Google, they tried Buzz and they tried Wave and they tried all these different things, but they've come across with Google Plus. Now, Google Plus is basically taking from Twitter, where you can just subscribe to anyone, and it's taken from Facebook, the whole wall thing. But instead of Twitter only having 140 characters, which is highly annoying, and it makes people a little bit dumb, might I add, because you really can't explain yourself properly. So you can post big, long articles on Google+. You can also categorize your circles of friends into these things called circles, which is fantastic because, you know, sometimes you don't want your aunt, Avi, to hear about some hardcore, scary conspiracy news because, you know, she's a little bit more fragile or whatever.
Yeah, so you can categorize your friends into these groups, and then you can target those groups with streams of information that are relevant to them.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is a good thing, and it gives the power to you. I just want to, sorry to interject, but I just want to actually play something here from this new news source called Kuzu News. And it's actually a really excellent breakdown of the carbon tax from the skeptical position, but it's also worth discussing the presentation of it, because this is actually a new type of news format where this organization called kuzu.com can actually package your information. You can present them with like a script, and they will actually produce it up into a video presentation and then package it for distribution on all different forms of media. And I think it's very interesting that this particular example here is one where they've actually taken the issues of the carbon tax and turned it into a really punchy kind of news presentation. And I'm just going to play it for you right now.
70% of Australians say they don't want a carbon tax. Why? It appears they understand that the projected 2015 handing over of the tax to a global market will lead to an emission trading scheme driven by global banking cartel speculators, which means the tax will be whatever they, who are set to trade our tax, want it to be. In short, the tax will have no cap. Gillard's $23 per tonne is a starting price. Now listen to her carefully. She always says starting price. Australian families are being sold a tax without an upper limit. We're being asked to hand over Australian taxation sovereignty to a global banking cartel that trades incomprehensible derivatives of mass financial destruction. A cartel that has their profits and not the environment, let alone the good of the Australian people, as their sole aim. Any compensation by the government now or in the future will be futile. And the politicians know it. Inflation, policy changes and tax bracket creep will dilute the inducement being offered to introduce this tax.
The cost, paid by big polluters, will be passed through to the prices of the goods you buy.
Any attempt by Gillard or future governments to compensate struggling families will simply be a wealth transfer to international bankers. In the same way, the first home buyer grant drove up house prices, transferring the grant to developers. It's a tax snake eating its own tail. The carbon tax is the latest global financial bubble being blown by a predatory international banking cartel. Al Gore and his banking global mates are salivating, rubbing their hands in the wings as they wait to trade Australia's super tax. The deceptively altruistic Al Gore's company, owned with his ex-Goldman Sachs executive partner David Blood, is befittingly called, wait for it, Blood and Gore. You can't make this stuff up. Like all previous financial bubbles, this new one will blow up, creating international banking cartel-induced chaos like we're now seeing in Europe. Europe, incidentally, does have a disastrous carbon tax and emissions trading scheme centred in the city. This is code for the one square mile of London where the banking speculators do global financial business. Savvy Australians instinctively know this recolonising tax is based on questionable science. Some 32,000 scientists, of which 9,000 are PhDs, have stated so in a global petition. See the Scientists' Oregon petition for yourself here. You won't hear about these sober, rational dissidents in this debate or in the controlled mainstream media, which the censorship-free internet is teaching us can't be trusted. These eminent scientists dispute anthropogenic man-made global warming. It appears the science is not in on global warming recently sheep-dipped as climate change. We saw this when the United Nations IPCC was found to knowingly have peddled fraudulent science from the University of East Anglia when an insider with a conscience released damning emails on the fraud to rig the science. Back in Australia, Julia Gillard and Bob Brown rely on cafeteria science to push through the carbon tax that will one day fund the one world government sought by Bob Brown and which he recently came out and admitted he wants. Why was economics professor Ross Garnaut, a globalist world government proponent, suspiciously chosen as our chief advisor on climate change? He's a member of the shadowy International Trilateral Commission set up by David Rockefeller. See this. Is there something going on here that we're not being told? We may not have answers, but we should ask the questions. What average hard-working Australians do know is the carbon tax is to be a blatant transfer of wealth and jobs from Australian families to global banking elites using a fraudulent Enron-devised carbon casino to financially strip-mine Australia. Is it any wonder 70% of Australians say they don't want this toxic tax, but do want an election? The carbon tax will be like a thief in the night, creeping into every aspect of Australians' lives as international speculators ratchet it up or down at will to punish or reward nations. Once this tax is embedded into our economy, even our elected representatives won't be able to protect us from those who have weaponised the carbon tax to impose it savagely on nations who dare to resist any aspect of their government's demands. Certainly fits in with Bob Brown's dream, doesn't it? We all know what an appreciating or depreciating dollar can do. Imagine a tax system that can do the same, but in the hands of non-Australians. The carbon tax is ultimately about sovereignty, Australians' right to live their lives as they choose. So what can you do about this? It's important you forward this on by SMS or email. For the first time ever, you can now virally bypass the corporate-controlled media to influence opinions and shape public policy by creating the news yourself. This has been a Kuzu News presentation, where you write, comment or give us talking points, and we produce news and commentary like this from just $149. Spread them virally or to smartphones worldwide, bypassing the controlled mass media. Kuzu.com is where you can now affordably reach hearts and minds of the people. You can now push and influence political, community, corporate or social tastes in all our currently available languages and accents. You've seen the power of social media. Now you've got the power to influence change. Let your unfiltered voice be heard at kuzu.com.
There we have it. Look, I don't know about you. I find that really inspiring.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
I mean, I find the whole concept inspiring. And let me just a few points I want to make. See, the mainstream media has created a meme whereby those people who put forth views like the David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, and Professor Garnaut's membership in that is some dark evil thing. The mainstream has created a meme whereby the people you think the people who are saying that are miserable, angry people who have like maybe YouTube channels where they sit there and they just talk in some droning voice, or that they're just deranged conspiracy nuts, right? Because because as soon as you talk about Rockefeller and, you know, secret organizations, there has been a meme created through propaganda that those views are the province of deranged people, right? Whereas what you just heard there was a very upbeat, very kind of TV style, you know, perfectly, that could go perfectly well on television.
Oh, it's filled with graphics.
Yeah,
it's all shot on green screen.
An attractive woman with a lovely voice, and it's upbeat. You know, it's not angry. It's not full of negative emotions, but it's giving you hard facts.
Yeah, it really is an interesting time for mainstream media and the elitists, because mainstream media, folks, is basically the propagandist arm to sell you things like wars, to sell you things that the agenda aspires to, like a new tax or whatever. And, you know, it's being taken away from them. And just, you know, you can't control these. I mean, the internet was created by the industrial military complex to start with, but you can't, they don't know everything, you know, and we the people have basically taken this tool and turned it on them.
Yeah, I mean, all these technologies that we've developed, including all of that stuff on TV with all of the graphics and all of the, you know, mind-numbing things they do, actually, you know, it's technology. You don't knock the technology. It's like, yes, fire can burn you, but fire is very useful. Okay, so yes, TV is a terrible weapon if it's used against people, but at the same time, it depends on how you use it. And all of these techniques can be used in what we've just seen to communicate virally. And the effect, I think, Josh, that presentation we just listened to, if you put that in front of a lot of people and just put it onto a television, right? The people, just the ordinary people who've never even really thought about this, or the ones that just go along with the ABC or the views of the mainstream, you put that on television and they're going to start thinking, gee, well, there's a lot of good points in that. They're just going to start thinking about it. They're not even going to be able to help it. I mean, again, you could say it's manipulative, but the point is, well, we are trying to influence people. Of course we are. But we're not driven by the desire to crush, exploit, dominate, and subjugate and enslave people. We're not driven by that.
Exactly. Exactly. It's a really fascinating time, and I think, you know, shows like this, you know, podcasting has blown the water open. I mean, when podcasting first came on the scene, it really frightened a lot of people in the inner circles, and I know a lot of people in media, and it was like, wow, this is a big game changer.
Absolutely.
This is a big game changer.
Absolutely.
Because the walls of entry were so huge to start a radio show. I mean, you know, they had trucks going around trying to find pirate radio stations in the 80s and 90s and the 70s, in the 60s as well, you know, all the way through.
To try and eliminate it. Yeah, because they don't want free speech, really. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And this has come along now where anyone, I mean, this show has thousands of listeners.
Absolutely.
And we literally, you know, it's run on a budget of nothing. Anyone can make one, and if they stick with it, they'll get the listeners. And I really find
when we say it's run on a budget of nothing, I mean Facebook started on a budget of nothing, Google started on a budget of nothing.
Yeah.
You know, everything that's any good started on a budget of nothing, and a lot of these products that now dominate the internet never made any money for years and years and years. Mm. It's just that they got bigger and bigger. And once you get a critical threshold of people using a service of any kind, it's worth money. I mean,
exactly.
At the moment, Truth News is fairly small, but, you know, the day that we have 50,000 listeners, I can guarantee you it will be making money. It just that will happen. There is a threshold there.
Yeah, and I mean, our concern isn't making money. That's why we've never had advertisers on here you know, we rarely ask for donations. But at the same time, you know, geez, it would be great to get some sort of budget so we can have a producer to help us out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of people think if you're starting to make money, ooh, that's bad. But it's all part of being self-sustaining. It's all about sustainability.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, think of it. Think of it as the great, you know, the great cycle. It's an ecology. It's like, it's life, you know.
Yeah.
That's how life works.
Yeah, so totally. And you can only do something that you're passionate about for so long until you either A, run out of the passion for it, or B, you need to spend your time earning money to live. And so, you know, it's really important that eventually we, as a show, can sort of, you know, be a non-profit and upscale some of this
stuff. Look, we're just going to take a quick break here for a song. I've got some great stuff on the Songs of Freedom page, the Truth News Songs of Freedom page here. Had some really good contributions. I'm just going to flick a song on here, and we'll be right back. This is some British rap artists, Cyclonius, Low Key, and Amy True.
Nothing's wrong with the world, nothing. It's just the people in it. If there is a God, then he's empowered my spirit. You see, my life, I live it, my memories are vivid. This ain't B.O.B., but I need a couple wishes. I wanna finish all the wars, I wanna feed the hungry. Give shelters to the homeless, and abolish money. Give every door for mummies, sober up the junkies. I would raise the love in every single country. But that's if the power was inside my fingertips. And if I met Aladdin, I'd tell him, don't waste a wish. The government have the power, but they ain't doing shit. That's why we have to work together and never dismiss the fact that we're here. Like crabs inside a bucket. So when I see humans helping each other, I love it. We're so ignorant, innocent, dying, we do nothing. We pretend we don't see, and I think it's disgusting.
Life ain't supposed to be like this. I got a feeling that some people out there taking the mick. I got a feeling that some certain people want us to miss. One education to enslave us, got us caught in the shit. Oh, nothing ever prepared you
got just one wish.
Isn't it strange how people still beg for a change? When it starts from inside, put the spark in your brain. In my heart, I'm alive, but the rest ain't the same. Zombified, mesmerized, throw a whip in a chain. Best believe I'm a soldier in these rocky terrains. Verbally try and reach the heights for my peeps in the game. Too many peacocks waltzing around, showing feathers, trying to gain wealth for egotistical endeavors. My mind soars like a falcon through the turbulence, a product of my environment. The state is murderous. The quiet storm, yeah, ready to get it on. Train and meditate for the next time they drop bombs, or when them tanks roll through the ice streets to let us know this is warfare. Blood, are you ready to go to the outer limits? We're limitless with our lyrics. In reality, we're scared to even pivot. Get with it.
Supposed to be like this. I got a feeling that some people out there taking the mic. I got a feeling that some certain people want us to miss. One education to a slave has got us caught in the shit. Oh, nothing ever prepared you for the lies. All the times, close my eyes. If God is really there, then I've got just one wish.
I dedicate this to all my people that aren't here and are here, but wanna go back to Diego Garcia. I swear some people claim they listen but can't hear. Act like the only choice is to sit in your armchair. Me, I didn't start the violence, I am just an artist rhyming, but my mind's infected like the soil in the Marshall Islands. They can disregard the riots, cause they know my heart is quiet like Bradley Mann in solitary cell. It's dark and silent, got a mangled spiritual slash damaged physical. The ghost of Captain Cook is haunting aboriginals. The ghost of Columbus is sitting in the Oval Office, met indigenous prisoners. Nothing like Pocahontas, the invader's side I will never ever stand on. Ask the invaders, they will tell you that this man's wrong. As humans we advance, hear the beauty in my bars till they put me behind them like Julian Assange.
Life ain't supposed to be like this. I got a feeling that some people out there taking the mick. I got a feeling that some certain people want us to miss. One education to a slave has got us caught in the shit. Oh, nothing ever prepared you for the lies. All the times, close my eyes. If God is really there, then I've got just one wish.
Sick of the propaganda, when you're over the disinformation, when you can't stand the deception, when the deceit gets too much, when the spin becomes transparent, you know where to turn. You turn on truthnews.com.au with your hosts, Harold Fenton and Joshua Jackson.
Welcome back. Tonight, we've been engaging with kind of a rambling show, and we started off talking about Rupert Murdoch. We haven't actually talked that much about Rupert Murdoch.
But oh, what is there to say?
Look, it's hard to know what to say. I've got a couple of points I did want to make, and one of them actually gets back to this question of independent bloggers and independent voices being important. But at the same time, independent voices and independent bloggers can often give you disinformation, and that's just part of the mix, you know, and it's equally a reality with a small scale operation to a large scale operation. And there's a lot of stuff going around on the internet saying that that Rupert Murdoch is a Jew and that Rupert Murdoch is an Israeli citizen. Now, I think it's important because if you put Rupert Murdoch into Google now, you'll get all this stuff about Rupert Murdoch is a Jew, and it's. He may be a Jew, okay, but the point is that there is no information out there that will confirm that comes from, you know, from Rupert Murdoch. It's just claims are made, and it's made by people who are actually connected to the truth movement and veterans today, Gordon Duff, who writes a lot of what I actually call disinformation, and some of that was echoed by Mike Rivero, who a lot of people listen to, who used to be a frequent guest on the Alex Jones show until he was kicked off because he continually goes on about Israel, and it just becomes a bit of a downer when someone's continually, you know, pointing the finger at one particular group as being the cause of all your problems. It goes a little bit too far in that direction. And
really, what does it matter if he's a Jew or a Catholic?
It sort of distracts, and it creates stereotypes and doesn't help to resolve the question. Yeah, indeed. Who cares if he's a Jew? And let's look at the reality of what these organizations have done. You know,
like, I don't care if he worships Santa Claus. If he's drumming the drums of war constantly and then, you know, tells extreme lies about weapons of destruction, constantly blurting out the same old filth and just being a mouthpiece for a fascist regime, that's what I care about.
Well, now, but this leads me...
Delves into Sabbath once a month, whatever it is, I don't care.
Yeah, indeed. But you just made some really interesting points there about the fact that, yes, he has been very pro-war. He has been pro-Israel, of course, but they all are, you know, so big deal. He's been pro-American wars, extremely, like, leading the propaganda of the invasion of Iraq, you know, just totally especially with some of those frontline people, like the people on Fox News in the US.
Yeah, but the funny thing is about this, definitely in the US, but if you go to some of the news sources that he owns in Europe, they were giving another side to the story.
What I know about some of the tabloids is that the tabloids have given air to a lot of conspiracy theories, and good on them for that. I mean, you know, and I don't diminish the importance of that. The Daily Mail and the Telegraph have been responsible for actually so many important stories coming out in relation to the fraud of climate change science and other really critical things to do with the wars, like the mysterious death of David Kelly, which it's really only been the Murdoch media which has exposed this. So it's ironic. And of course, Fox News is the only major TV channel to have given significant airtime to 9/11 skeptics like Stephen Jones and Richard Gage and Tony Zambodi, who went on the Geraldo show to you know, and got massive support also from the Judge Napolitano show, all Fox News shows. And again, but Fox News has been this right-wing channel pro-war. So what's really going on there? Does Rupert Murdoch try to play both sides so he has a bit of dirt, so he has a bit of blackmail power? Maybe he does that. Maybe he lets this stuff through to say to them, look what I can do. You know, if I did this more, if I let more of this through, I could actually influence people to go completely against the government. Maybe he's done this strategically.
And the thing we've got to remember here is Rupert Murdoch really doesn't have a say in day-to-day running of things. But what he does is build a culture in certain areas. I mean, I know that what generally happens is you build a culture and you hire top-level people that you know are of a certain ilk in their thinking, and then they go on and hire some of these lower-level journos, knowing that they're only going to hire people of the similar ilk. So, you know, to pin everything on Rupert Murdoch is also a bit futile, because
a bit flawed, except in the sense that he is to me like a classic puppet dictator in a business sense, because
true.
he has held the reins very tightly of his organization, and he has driven it, and he's perhaps driving it into the ground right now with a lot of the business decisions he's making, which you know, at his age, and he's probably, what is he, 80s now, mid-80s or something like that, he doesn't really understand the way the internet works, and he's trying to get all of the major news sites to go behind paywalls, and he's doing it. Like, it's happening. Like, it will be happening in Australia within the next 6 months. The Australian will go behind a paywall. And, of course, no one will go to the Australian anymore. It'll just disappear. Like, no one will care. It will hardly even be noticed. That's the ultimate irony of it. So,
and I mean, this is what I'm saying, right? Let's not get all hummed down about this dick. Pardon my French. Sorry for all the French out there. But, you know, let's not get all hung up about this one person. It's really the mainstream media as a concept has got to, it's being abolished, because we are all citizens. We're all journalists.
Yeah.
We've all got a story, and we can all report things. We've all got the technology around us to report things, and we've all got the capability of transferring information. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to talk.
Absolutely. And look, I have discovered in my research for Truth News that the ABC is as bad as it gets. Our ABC is as bad as it gets in terms of propaganda and just outright lying. And it was a huge disappointment to me to actually realize that, because I used to think the ABC was better than the other media. And you know, they're not. There's just a different flavor. It's like a different flavor of propaganda. It's like, you know, it's, you know, rum and raisin versus choc chip. But, I mean, it's just, it's packaging lies constantly. It's just a stream of lies.
Because, you know, the whole, everyone that's within the ABC are being paid by the state,
yeah,
being paid by the government. So it comes naturally with this socialistic, left-leaning twist and slide on things. So, of course, they're going to just ram down your throat all of this collectivist propaganda. But people don't realize that. They think, oh, they're some worldly, you know, they speak in other languages, and SBS does too, you know, is the main one for that. But, you know, they're very worldly and all of this. But really, when you look at it, the main talking point they're always hammering home is carbon tax and global warming. They've been doing that for years, you know. There's other key issues. There's about four of them which they just rabbit on about. I mean, I've stopped listening to them because
it's so tedious, isn't it?
It does my head in, just like listening to you know, Alan Jones did my head in. Like,
sure,
you know, he does my head in because he's just the opposite. You know, he was drumming the war drums during the Iraq War as well.
But do you think, Josh, that the current attempt to crush News Corporation has anything to do with this sustained, relentless campaign around the world by News Corp outlets all over the world to basically oppose carbon taxes and to actually present the information about climate science being fraudulent, and to basically give an airing to all of the climate skeptics and all of the real genuine scientists who are actually questioning it and pointing out the fraudulent nature of the IPCC and the government programs and the carbon trading scheme. News Limited has just been on a campaign to sway public opinion to destroy the myth of man-made climate change. And to that extent, I have to say, whenever I see those articles and when I see them on The Australian, I go, fantastic, you know, great stuff. Even though I know there might be other agendas, and I don't trust the people who are running the newspapers, but do you think it's possible that the reason why Murdoch is being brought down is because of this relentless campaign?
Well, this is a conspiracy theory that we've both been sort of, you know, ping-ponging back and forth over the couple of weeks privately between ourselves, because it's something we both individually noticed.
Yeah.
But hang on, they were drums of war, drums of war, drums of war. Everybody loves them. No one picks on them, apart from, you know, the fringe left.
Yeah.
And no one really goes, hey, stop with the war.
Yeah.
You know, and stop with the war stories. Why don't you give us the other side of that? No,
yeah.
It was really, really, you know, ridiculous. And you had a couple of movies come out, like Outfoxed and stuff, and they definitely got ran by people. But there really wasn't much from other media organizations hammering them. Now you have this all of a sudden this thing about global warming, the skeptic side, they've really taken the skeptic side, and yeah, all of a sudden they're being attacked, people are dying. Rupert's had to put off one of the biggest media mergers in history.
Absolutely.
And all this stuff is going down because of some hacking, phone hacking. So I really, you know, what we've come down to is thinking, hey, what if these global elites are putting pressure on Murdoch to ease up on this global warming, because they want this agenda.
It's so hard to work it out. I mean, and you wonder, well, what is his motive? Because, I mean, the Murdoch Empire has invested in carbon trading. They are actually promoting it internally. It's actually a policy that they promote carbon taxes and green energy for which they're getting carbon offsets in any trading scheme. They would be getting carbon offsets due to all their investment in green initiatives. But at the same time, you just look at what comes out of the Murdoch media, and it is just like a sustained campaign, just like they've been on campaigns in the past to bring down governments to change the course of history. They're doing it now with the climate change and the carbon taxes. And but of course, let's not give them all the credit. I mean, you know, it's really the people that woke up. The people woke up first. Okay.
I think so. I think people, you know, I don't want to give him too much credit, but I think people like Alex Jones have become so popular around the world.
Yeah, indeed.
That a lot of news organizations have gone, hey, this guy's rating like crazy.
Mm.
And I saw this directly with Glenn Beck.
Right.
He was someone that was totally anti any sort of conspiracy stuff, or global, global elite sort of.
He kind of drifted into it, didn't he? It's like,
yeah, and then all of a sudden he's pretty much parroting a lot of the talking points of Alex Jones, and it got me really thinking about what's happened. Are they chasing the ratings?
Well, look, all I know, Josh, is that there is a global awakening, as Zbigniew Brzezinski told us. There is a global awakening, a political awakening. People are becoming politically aware all over the world, and the oligarchy is really freaking out.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to handle it.
And you're exactly right. I mean, it's just simple things like understanding that debt is created out of nothing by privately held banks. So this sort of information, these gems of information are spreading out there. I mean, you'd be hard pressed in the 80s to go around to Schmo along the street and say, hey, where does money come from, for him to even have a clue or her to have a clue. Nowadays, you can talk to a lot of people, and at least 1 out of 10, which still isn't much, but at least 1 out of 10 will say, you know, it's created of thin air, and money's this, and we'll pretty much relay a lot of the scam. They'll talk about false flag terrorism. They'll talk about all these tools that the elite have used to control people, which you could have never found in the 80s and 90s, so 60s, 70s, you know. It really is now that the awakening is happening, and it's because of the information age, because of things like YouTube, which is just a phenomenon in people power.
YouTube really transformed our consciousness, didn't it? Like, it's so hard to believe that it didn't exist before 2004.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know,
it's
like 2004... You know, like, there was no YouTube. What? A world without YouTube? It's not even conceivable, is it?
It absolutely is. The meteoric rise of this sort of technology and the anarchic nature of the internet, which just things just spring out of nowhere and just get just explode, and everybody embraces it.
And of course, the 9/11 truth movement owes a hell of a lot to YouTube, because it was only when we all started watching those videos.
Mm.
When we all could just easily watch the videos of Building 7 coming down. I mean, that really did transform, and still is. We're only, quarter of the way through that, actually. We're an early stage yet, believe it or not. Mm. You know, because we were the forward, advanced guard of this, right? Most people still aren't aware of this. Most people still haven't seen Building 7 come down. Most people still haven't seen it. I know it's incredible. They haven't. I guarantee you, most of the people at work, they've never seen it. They've never even tried. They don't even want to know, you see. Back to that cognitive dissonance thing. They don't want to see it. They know there's something out there that's going to scare them. They've heard enough about it to know that there's information out there that would scare the pants off them, and they don't want to see it. And that's the other side of it. I mean, but of course, there's all this great stuff about YouTube, which is just about music, you know, just about actually letting you see all the great music recordings of the last 50 years. We could never see all that before.
Yeah, stuff that's just disappeared off of our consciousness, but then some person just pops it into your consciousness because they found it, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. And it's a real gem. And as much as Facebook and all these things are extreme intrusions into privacy, they're also an amazing tool for revolution. It's a revolution in information. It's a way of spreading information so quickly and getting feedback on that information so quickly.
Look, revolution is peaceful, folks. Revolution is not violent, okay? Violent revolution is not revolution. Violent revolution is just actually literally, a revolving door. You get the same thing again and again. Yeah. I mean, we saw it with the French Revolution. We saw it with the Russian Revolution. We saw it with the other more recent events. You know, like in Cambodia and.
You see it all the time. These thugs come in.
Yeah.
They take over. They just scream and shout, and they're all like, yay, and they're proud, and they chop off the king's head, and they dance all around him. And then the leader of the person who chopped off the head gets in power and becomes a total dictator.
Yeah.
I mean, it's over and over and over again. It's violent revolution just doesn't work. It's about an evolution of the mind. It's an evolution of thought and idea. And we are in the information age, where thought and idea is the weapon, is so powerful that it can become weaponized. And really, we have no excuses as a human race anymore. And that's why I find it so sad and laughable that people just get so hung up about some phones being hacked, yet don't spread information like about Building 7 or
the London 7/7 bombings, which are heavily implicated in the British intelligence, or the death of David Kelly. It's just you can't kill yourself that way. You can't just slit your own wrist like that, and it just doesn't work. It's not physically possible to die by doing that.
Yeah, you can't double tap yourself in the head.
No, exactly.
With a gun.
It's just this giant distraction, but it won't stop the relentless wave that's moving forward of the human awakening. It will not stop that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We'll be back. I've got more video that I'm going to be editing and getting up onto the site. Any final points you want to make there, Josh?
Well, this whole world needs to really remember, and our listeners need to remember, you're all beautiful and amazing beings that are capable of anything that anyone else is capable of.
You are beautiful.
We're all amazing, and seize that power.
You are stardust.
To liberate yourself.
The universe is infinite. There is infinite energy. Infinite.
Infinite.
We're not running out of anything.
From this cognitive dissonance. If you do one thing this week, talk to your friends or someone that you think is cognitively dissonant, and try to awaken some part of their mind into something that they might not, try to get them to see the other side of something.
And from the other side of something, it's good night from us. Good night from Truth News Radio Australia.
Farewell.